I remember Bobby Darin's variety show in the early 70s, and it was a segment that he did every single week where he would sit on the stoop with his old, quote-unquote, neighborhood pals.
Yep.
And I kept thinking of that as I kept reading your book, and a lot of us, when we have an idol in show business, we want to believe in our heart of hearts that that person is just as he appears or she appears on screen. And we know that that's not necessarily the case. Reality has a way of entering into our lives and causing us to wake up a little bit. But how much of Bobby in the later years, in the late 60s, early 70s, do you think, I mean, did he have any relationships beyond the one that he finally resumed with you briefly? Did he have any relationships with the old neighborhood? Did he care about where he came from?
He did enormously, but what happened to him was that I think he perceived anyone that from his early days as someone that wanted something from him. And when he had that perception, he just, he would turn his back. Walked away.
Was he paranoid a bit?
I don't know if that's the right word, but he was certainly possessed with wanting to be where he had attained rather than where he had been.
His career, after the huge hits, Mac the Knife, Beyond the Sea and all that, he had bumps along the way and big ones. And then he would reinvent himself with more of a folk sound or rock sound.
That was probably a big part of the problem that he had in show business. I mean, number one, he worked in clubs and he was a dynamite performer. But as far as records went, and you know, in the old days they used to say that, you know, you have to, and I guess today too, you need a record. If you don't have a record, meaning a hit record, if you don't have a hit record, you're not going to work. And Bobby, of course, had Mac the Knife. I think he was 22 years old. And Beyond the Sea was on the same first album that he had. And Splish-Splash and Dream Lover and Queen of the Hop, those things that happened even before that. So, you know, Bobby was 23, 24 years old, and he had his biggest hit. And then he went around the country, and he worked in clubs, and he broke records, and he was doing terrifically. And then the Beatles came in, and the British invasion happened, and the record-buying public wanted something different. And Bobby didn't come up with it. And he worked, there's no question about it. But he never had that hit record again. He had that kind of a semi-hit with If I Were a Carpenter.
Yeah.
And but he was trying to reinvent himself throughout that time, and he was very frustrated.
Did he have, Steve, and he seemed like such an independent spirit when you knew him, did he have any guiding, I mean, he had agents and stuff, but did he have any Swami guiding him along, or was he really out for himself?
Well, he was out, you know, it's a really interesting question, because if you look at someone who was the new, you know, that's when you're someone who's breaking in, they call it, hey, he's the new, and he wasn't the new anymore.
Right.
He ran his own ship. He picked his own material, and he had a couple of managers. Steve Bonner was his manager at the time of his great successes. And then, you know, he won an Academy Award nomination for, he acted in a movie with Gregory Peck called Captain Newman, M.D., but then after that he couldn't get a job.
Mm.
He did some movies with Sandra Dee, but nothing ever stuck. And for someone who was so driven to want to be better all the time, and there was no, you know, it didn't happen, he was a very frustrated guy, and the frustration was taken out on his quote, friends.
Mm.
I'm not the only one. The first, but I'm certainly not the only one.
There's also, I mean, you catalog this in a memoir. You talk about his quest to be loved, and in some cases to bed various women. I mean, he was insatiable, it seems. Is that true?
Well, yes. It's a corny thing too. I heard an interview a couple of years ago where Richard Nixon was being interviewed by David Frost.
Right.
And the former president, and this I have no comment on, you know, his presidency, but he said something. He was describing someone in his cabinet, and he said, "This guy is a real swordsman." And I heard the expression, "He's a swordsman."
Right.
And I said, "This is Bobby Darin."
Mm-hmm.
Bobby's need for conquest was insatiable.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was an attempt to, you know, to fall in love with Connie Francis or in his marriage, he was married a couple of times, and not that that's a terrible thing, but he, you know, he kind of ran through people because he needed, there was always a new conquest. And there was never that calm, at least that I knew him, the times I knew him, that there was never that calm in him that was... that would allow for a real relationship, and you got to have that.